This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
UT Austin's newest supercomputer has been running virtually nonstop since launching in late July. It's called Stampede 2, and it's currently the most powerful computer at any university in the U.S. With a system upgrade rolling out later this month, it's estimated to jump from the 12th to somewhere near the 6th fastest in the world. But the lifespan of such custom machines is only a handful of years. And as KUT's Joseph Leahy reports, the university is already planning for its faster, more efficient replacement.
Stampede 2 at UT's Texas Advanced Computing Center near MOPAC and 183 fills a bright room with six rows of wired, blinking computer cabinets. Its floor plan could fit roughly inside a basketball court. And its maximum computing power is akin to about 100,000 new laptops. That's enough for every seat at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium.
As I mentioned, these are the cooling units. So these are what provide all the cooling so you can feel the cold air coming out.
Tommy Minyard is Director of Advanced Computer Systems at the center. They call TAC for short. His team is now testing phase two, which will push Stampede's peak power from 13 to 18 petaflops. That would be 18 quadrillion computations per second. Minyard explains one thing common about all supercomputers is the faster they go, the hotter they get.
Right now it's not super hot here, but when we run our full power workloads, it definitely gets a lot hotter in here.
Researchers across the country run data and experiments on Stampede 2 24/7, but Minyard says the system still can't accommodate even a fraction of the request for using it.
There will be probably 100 potential jobs running on the system at any given time. They can be doing everything from weather forecasting to, you know, astrophysics, galaxy formation modeling. And we got guys doing computational fluid dynamics, structural modeling, computational chemistry, computational physics.
In August and September, Stampede 2 ran storm track and coastal surge forecast for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That, in turn, provided high-resolution weather warnings for people in the paths of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. The university's Hot Rod Computer Lab is led by Executive Director Dan Stanzione. He's overseen several generations of supercomputers during his career and is planning to oversee several more.
And as long as we can produce more and more data, we're going to need bigger and bigger computers to sift through it.
Stanzione says pushing the limits of supercomputing matters most because whoever reaches certain milestones first will hold advantage across the board for years to come. The U.S. and other nations are investing billions into what's considered a new full-blown arms race.
The fastest machines in the world are mostly sort of government machines, national-scale machines. Number one and two right now are in China. The two or three fastest ones in the United States are at the Department of Energy, partially at the weapons labs, partially at the science labs of DOE. So in some ways, it's directly an arms race in that one of the many applications of these machines is advanced weapons design, although there are many others.
Before Stampede 2 came Stampede 1, and before that was Ranger, once the fifth fastest supercomputer in the world, way back in 2008. TAC decommissioned Ranger in 2013. Parts of it went to Baylor and Texas A&M universities, but most of it went to Africa. Hey, Professor Satoli, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Happy Satoli directs the Center for High Performance Computing in South Africa. Our Skype connection was actually not that great, but he described how chunks of the Ranger system are now instrumental in several advanced computing programs on the continent.
When Ranger retired and we got through this program, it managed to get some other use at a number of universities here in South Africa and also a number of countries in Africa.
Satoli says most of TAC's old supercomputer is now training new generations of computer scientists.
Yeah, I guess you could say I learned to type before I could write.
One of those forging Africa's future in supercomputing is Brian Johnston. He's a senior technologist at the South African Center's Advanced Computer Engineering Lab. We had a much better Skype connection.
And I really see great potential going forward, especially in Africa. I think it's an untapped resource, and I think there's a lot of passion, a lot of interest in Africa, and I'm really, really honored to be part of that community building.
The potential of supercomputers transforming the world has weighed heavily on our imaginations for decades. Curiously, in fiction and film, that's mostly entailed highly negative outcomes.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
HAL from 2001, A Space Odyssey, had some real issues with mankind, as did Skynet from Terminator, which also turned out poorly for humans.
It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th. In a panic, they tried to pull the plug.
Johnson says it's a given that supercomputers will dramatically change our power to understand and control the world, but he says they're still a long way from taking over.
At the moment, I don't think we have anything to worry about in that respect. I'm seeing a lot of great science happening around me from my colleagues that are doing a lot of research, and the breakthroughs, I think, outweigh any concern for that sort of stuff at the moment. No one has created Skynet yet, and as long as no one names their machine Skynet, I don't think we need to worry.
UT Austin is already making plans for its next supercomputer to replace Stampede 2 when it's retired about 4 years from now. They say they've yet to settle on a name, so perhaps there's still time. Joseph Leahy, KUT News.